We need somebody to roll chapatis in the kitchen. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Canto 11, Chapter 6, Text Number 10, the Jadu Dynasty retires to Prabhasa. Syam Na Tava Envi Ashubha Ashaya Bhuma Ketu Shumaya Yaha Munidhi Ardrahida Uvyamana Yaha Satvatai Samadhibhutai Atmavadhi Divi Archita Savanashaha Sat Atikramaya Syamnasta Vangi Rasubhashaya Bhumaketu. Syamnasta Vangi Rasubhashaya Bhumaketu. Shimaya Yomuni Dir Adhra Hido Humana. Shamaya yo muri dhe adhra hudo humana. Yasa tatai shama vibhuta ya adhna vadhi. Yasa tatai yasa tatai shama vibhuta ya adhna vadhi. Yuhe chita savana shasar achikramaya Yuhe chita savana shasar achikramaya Sannasta vangi ashubhashaya bhumaketu Shamaya yo muni dhir adhra hido humana Yasa tatai shama vibhuta ya adhna vadhi Vyuhir chita samana shaswara tikramaya Syamnasta vangi ashubhashaya bhumaketu Shimaya yo muni dhir adhra hido humana Yasvatatai shama vibhutaya adhna vadhi Vyuhe chita savana shasvara chikramaya Syamnasta vangi ashubhashaya bhumaketu Shemaya yo muni dhiradha hido humana Yasa tatai shama vibhutaya adhna vadhi Yuhe chita savana shasvara chikramaya Matajis Syamnasta vangri rasubhashaya bhumaketu Shemayayo Muni Viradha Hubohumana. Yasat Pratai Samadhi Bhupayat Mubadhi. Yuhir Chitasa Nusha Sadachit Namaya. Anybody else? Syat may they be. Naha for us. Tava your. And we, the lotus feet, Ashubha Ashaya, of our inauspicious mentality. Dhammaketu, the annihilating fire. Shamaya, for achieving real benefit. Yaha, which, Muribhi, by sages. Arvahida, with melted hearts. Vihimana, are being carried. Yaha, which, Satvatai, by the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Samavibhutaye, for gaining opulence like his. Atmavadhi, by those who are self-controlled. Vyuhe, in the 400 personal expansions of Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Prajuna, and Anirudha. Architaha, worshipped. Savanashaha, at the three junctions of each day. Sva Atikramaya, for crossing beyond the heavenly planets of this world. Translation interpreted by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Great sages desiring the highest benefit in life always cherish your lotus feet within their hearts, which are melted by love for you. Similarly, your self-controlled devotees, desiring to cross beyond the material kingdom of heaven to achieve opulence equal to yours, worship your lotus feet in the morning, at noon, and in the evening. Thus, they meditate upon your lordship in your quadruple extension. Your lotus feet are just like a blazing fire that burns to ashes all the inauspicious desires for material sense gratification. Please repeat. Great sages desiring the highest benefit in life. Always cherish your lotus feet within their hearts. Which are melted by love for you. Similarly, your self-controlled devotees, desiring to cross beyond the material kingdom of heaven to achieve opulence equal to yours, worship your lotus feet in the morning, at noon and in the evening. Thus they meditate upon your lordship in your quadruple expansion. Your lotus feet are just like a blazing fire that burns to ashes all the inauspicious desires for material sense gratification. Perfect. The conditioned living entity can purify his existence simply by having firm faith in the transcendental glories of the personality of Godhead. What then can be said of the extraordinary good fortune of the demigods who are directly seeing Lord Krishna's lotus feet? Although we are presently afflicted by innumerable material desires, these desires are temporary. The eternal living entity is meant to experience a loving relationship with the supreme living entity, the personality of Godhead. And by rendering pure devotional service to the Lord, the heart of the living entity is completely satisfied. The word Dhumaketu in this verse indicates a flaming comet or fire, which represents Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the master of the mode of ignorance, and Lord Krishna's lotus feet are compared to the comet, a symbol of the potency of Shiva, which can destroy all ignorance within the heart. The word samadhibhutaye, for achieving equal opulence, indicates that the pure devotees go back home, back to Godhead, and enjoy the infinite bliss of the spiritual world. Lord Krishna is endowed with unlimited opulent paraphernalia for enjoyment, and a liberated soul who goes to Krishna's abode is awarded all opulence for serving the Lord. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, the word vyuhi in this verse indicates the three Purusha incarnations, namely Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, as well as Vasudeva. If we can scientifically understand how Krishna expands himself to create the material world, we shall immediately experience that everything is the property of Krishna, and thus become free from the desire to exploit for our own selfish purposes. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the master of everyone, and the reservoir of all opulences. And one should remember his lotus feet in the morning, at noon, and in the evening. One who always remembers Krishna and never forgets him will experience real, blissful life beyond the pale shadow of material illusion. Jai. It's a beautiful purpose. So, great sages desiring the highest benefit in life always cherish a lotus feet with their hearts, within their hearts, which are melted by love for you. Similarly, your self-controlled devotee is desiring to cross beyond the material kingdom of heaven to achieve opulence equal to yours. Worship your lotus feet in the morning, at noon, and in the evening. Thus, they meditate upon Lord, your lordship in your quadruple expansion. Your lotus feet are just like a blazing fire that burns to ashes all the auspicious desires for material sense gratification. So here are the demigods that came to Krishna. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravali Pracharine Nirvisheshanavali Krishna Jayakshitaya. So demigods came to Krishna. Now they want to take Krishna back to the spiritual world. Originally Brahma prayed to Krishna, please come down. Now he's praying, let's go back to the spiritual world. And they are glorifying Krishna in different ways. No. The Lord is the source of everything. No. Today also is the appearance day, or disappearance day of Srila Ramanujacharya. So I would like, if I have your permission, to focus on this, because he's such a great Vaishnava. And I spent some time researching about his life and learning about his life. And I fell in love with him. He's so amazing, such an amazing, saintly person. And this verse says that the Lord is the source of everything. And the purport is explaining this. And Ramanujacharya, he was very expert in logic, logical argument. And he had a question, how do you prove by logic that there is an ultimate creator? Who wants to venture on that? How do you prove by logic, forget about the scriptures now, that there is an ultimate creator? Okay, everybody has a father, okay? Anybody else?
There is an organization in the material world to see divine intelligence in the material world. All you have to do is cut in orange to see.
Okay.
Organization.
Okay. Anybody else?
Any amazing structure or project one would ask, if it's so amazing, they would ask, who has created this? Yeah. It's the natural conclusion that somebody, a person, is behind.
So he said, Ramadhyaya said that argument by logic is not correct. And he explains why. He explains why, like, you would say that there's a creator, but could be several creators. This argument does not prove that there is one creator. who is only there's creator. And he gives the example that you can see several parts. And you can't say that there is one creator. It could be many creators for the different parts. Or you see houses in Alaska and everywhere. Well, there's a creator, but there's not necessarily one creator. Could be many creators. So what's the argument? He actually concluded that by logic, you cannot prove that there is a supreme creator. Only by scriptural evidence. So that was his conclusion. So I would like to spend the next 40 minutes or so talking about Ramanujacharya. First, I would like to set the scene of where the time when he was born in South India. And I would like to explain what was happening before him. So prior to him, there was Buddha. And Buddha came before him. Buddha appeared in 563 BC. Okay. Then after Buddha, there was a very prolific Buddhist preacher called Nagarjuna, who came 633 years after Buddha, 150 CE. And he is actually the prominent person that preached the philosophy of Shunyata, like we have in Prabhupada's Pranam, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. So this Nagarjuna, follower of Buddha, who came 633 years after Buddha, he was the prominent one preaching Shunyata. And he was also born in South India. Now, South India has something. And Madhvacharya was born in South India, on the southeast coast of South India, in Udupi. And Ramanuja was born in the south, Madhvacharya in the southwest, and Ramanuja in the southeast, and near Chennai. So this Nagarjuna was preaching all over India and beyond this philosophy of Shunyata, which means emptiness, that there is nothing that really exists. Even soul, karma, intelligence, it's all empty. There's nothing that is really real. And for a long time this philosophy was going on, because by the time Shankaracharya came, was in 788 CE, this was 538 years after Nagarjuna. So for 538 years this philosophy was going on, and they were becoming popular. So then comes Shankaracharya. And Shankaracharya didn't live a long life, he lived only for 32 years. But somehow, he became extremely prominent with his philosophy. Okay. And Ramanuja came 97 years after Shankaracharya. He was born in 1017 CE. But in the short lifespan of Shankaracharya, he was able to spread his mission everywhere. It looks like the philosophy that everybody's God is, no, it's good for the appetite of most people. Most people want to hear that. So it was very easy to expand. When Ramanuja was born in 1017, and he was born from a Brahmin family. His parents didn't have a child for some time. So they decided that we are going to pray to Parthasarathi. And this deity of Parthasarathi is still there near Chennai. There's a temple with this deity there. Has anybody been there? Yeah? I heard that this deity has a mustache. And Krishna has some scars on his face because it was in the battlefield. So I heard one devotee that lives in the area saying this. So Prabhupada explains about the philosophy of Ramanujacharya. Okay? Explains in the introduction of the Adilila. Thus Krishna should not be thought of as being alone, but should be considered as eternally existing with all his manifestations, as described by Ramanujacharya. In the Vishishtadvaita philosophy, that's the name of Ramanujacharya's philosophy, it's called Vishishtadvaita. So in this philosophy, God's energies, expansions and incarnations are considered to be oneness in diversity. In other words, God is not separate from all this. Everything together is God. And again, Prabhupada explains on Adi 7:10, to defeat this Kevaladvaitavada. Kevaladvaitavada is the philosophy of Shankaracharya. Mayavada or Kevaladvaitavada. Sri Ramanujacharya presented his philosophy as Vishistadvaitavada. And Sri Madhvacharya presented his philosophy of Tatvavada, both of which are stumbling blocks to the Mayavadis, because they defeat their philosophy in a scrupulous detail. The students of Vedic philosophy know very well how strongly Sri Ramanujacharya's Vishistadvaitavada and Sri Madhvacharya's Tatvavada contest the impersonal Mayavada philosophy. So we will see in a moment how Ramanuja acted in such a way to defeat the monistic philosophy. And there is a very strong relationship with Prabhupada's preaching, because Prabhupada clearly said on his Pranam Mantra, the Pranam Mantra that he gave to his followers, that he came to enlighten the West, to free the West from Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, from the philosophy of monism, that everybody is God, everything is one, and the philosophy of Vaidyaism, philosophy of Buddhism. He came to free the world from that. So Ramanuja also was doing very much the same thing in his own time. In the Adi Lila, Prabhupada explains in more detail the philosophy of Ramanujacharya. The advocates of the Vishistadvaitavada philosophy explain the Vedanta Sutra by saying that although the living entity has two kinds of bodies, sorrow consisting of the mind, intelligence, and false ego, and gross consisting of the five basic elements, and although he does live in three bodily dimensions, gross, sorrow, and spiritual, he is nevertheless a spiritual soul. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who emanates the material and the spiritual worlds, is the Supreme Spirit. As an individual, the spirit soul is almost identical to his gross and subtle bodies, so the Supreme Lord is almost identical to the material and the spiritual worlds. Sri Ramanujacharya, more similarities with our philosophy, is stating that Vedartha Sangraha, the devotional service, is naturally very dear to the living entity. Indeed, it is its life's goal. Madhulila 8:57. So before we get into more depth on the life of Ramanujacharya, it's important to understand the life of Ramanujacharya. It's important to understand Jamunacharya, who came before him. Jamunacharya, he was a great saint, and he lost his father at a very early age. And his paternal grandfather was so unhappy with the death of his son that he decided to take sannyas. And now, you know, in the families are very close. Now, Jamunacharya did not have a father and did not have a paternal grandfather, because they're both gone. So he was raised by his mother and grandmother. And he joined the school of Bhattacharya. There was a king, a famous king in at that time, and this king, he had a pundit in his court, and this pundit, called the Kolahala, used to challenge everybody. And if somebody that went to debate with him lost the debate, that person would have to pay a tax to the king every year for life. You complain about the taxes now. So one day, a tax collector came to Bhattacharya's school to collect tax, because Bhattacharya was 2 years behind on his tax payment. Bhattacharya wasn't there, but Jamunacharya was there, and he was only 12 years old. And the tax collector came demanding, "Where's Bhattacharya? He owes tax for 2 years. He needs to pay." And Jamunacharya didn't know what was going on. He said, "What is this tax about?" "Well, he lost the debate with Kolahala, and he has to pay this tax for life." And and Jamuna Chandra said, who is this Kolahala? Oh, he's a great pundit. And he debates with everybody, and who wins? He never lost the debate. Who wins? And you have to pay taxes. Okay, so you go back to Kolahala and tell him that I want to debate with him. He was only 12 years old. And the tax collector said, okay, so you come with me. So no, that's not proper. Tell the king that he has to send the proper entourage to take me for the debate. So okay, he went back, spoke to the king, and the king sent a palanquin with 100 soldiers to take him for the debate. And when he comes to the debate, when everybody heard this, there will be a debate of Kolahala and this 12-year-old boy, the disciple of Vasacharya, who already lost the debate. But everybody was curious. So many people came. The thousands and thousands of people assembling to listen to the debate. And the king said, oh, this is going to be like a moth running to a fire. Kolahala is going to destroy him. But the queen was not so sure. She said, no, I think it's going to be more like a spark burning a huge mountain of cloth. So the debate starts. And I'm not going to prolong too much on this because there's so much more to say about Ramanujacharya. Making the story short, he won the debate. And the king gave half of the kingdom to him. But then what happens, with half of the kingdom, somewhat he forgot Krishna. He became a king, he forgot Krishna. And his grandfather, Nakamuni, who was aggrieved because Jamunacharya had forgot Krishna, eventually, when he was on his deathbed, he requested one of his disciples that, I have one request before I leave this world. I want you to go and save Jamunacharya. He said, okay, you have my word, I will say. So, Jamunacharya was the king, it was very difficult to get close to him. So this Brahmana devised a plan, and he collected the spinach from nearby the palace, a special spinach, and took to the cook. He said, give this to the king. And every day he would give spinach, and the king really liked that spinach. And one day he didn't show up. And the king said, where is the spinach? Oh, there's this Brahmana, he comes and brings every day, today he didn't bring it. Oh, a Brahmana. Next time he comes, bring him here. So he brought the Brahmana there, and then the Brahmana said, actually, I am a disciple of Nakamuni, your grandfather. So it kind of touches his heart. And he left a huge fortune for you. And I came here to take you to collect this fortune. And this fortune is in a place protected by a serpent with many heads. And there's a lake. You have to come with me. So, okay, let's go immediately. I will bring my entourage. So, no, you should come with me. So, not prolonging the story again. During this trip, he was preaching Bhagavad Gita to him. And after that, Jamunacharya did not want to go back to the kingdom. And then he became the master of the Sri Sampradaya at that time. Not the founder. Neither Jamunacharya nor Ramanujacharya are the founder of the Sri Sampradaya. They were masters. He became a master. So, going back to Ramanujacharya, so during those days when Ramanujacharya was going as a kid, Jamunacharya was the master, the great preacher, the great saint of the Sri Sampradaya. So one of Jamunacharya's six sannyasis was Shalipuna. And Shalipuna had two sisters. The sisters were Kantimati and Diptimati. And Kanki Mati, she married Keshavacharya, and they begot Ramanuja. Ramanuja was their child. And he was born in a place near Chennai, called Kanchipuram. Kanchipuram is a place. When he was growing up, there was a Brahmana. He used to go to the temple. His name was Kanchipuram. This Kanchipuram in Kanchipuna. Kanchipuna was this, not a Brahmana actually, he was from a Shudra family, but he was a great devotee of the Lord. And every way on the way to the temple, he used to pass by the house of Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya was fascinated by his devotion. And one day he went to him and became friends with him, and became so enamored by him, he said, I want to be initiated by you, I want to be your disciple. And Kanchipuna said, I cannot initiate you because I'm from a Shudra family. You're from a Brahmana family. Now the caste system was very powerful at that time. I cannot initiate it. But Ramanuja said, but what good is that? I thought quality is what matters. No, substance is what matters, not appearance. It doesn't matter to me. He said, no, I cannot do that. So, Ramanujacharya joined the school of Yadava Prakash. No? But Yadava Prakash was an impersonalist. It was the Yadava Prakash Academy. So he was an impersonalist, follower of Shankaracharya, as most people were on those days. And Ramanujacharya did not feel too comfortable listening to the arguments of Yadava Prakash. One day, became intolerable. Because after all the students left, Ramanujacharya was massaging his spiritual master. Every day one of the students would massage the spiritual master. And while he was massaging him, one student came back and said, Master, this morning you explained a verse from the Chandogya Upanishad. And I am a little confused. I don't understand exactly what you explained in that verse. Would you please explain again? So, okay, and while this, Ramanujacharya is massaging him. And the verse was, Kapyasam Pundarikam Nivanakshini. And the way he translated, according to Shankaracharya, was the following. It's a very strange way. I feel bad even talking about this. The Lord had eyes like lotuses, as red as the monkey's rear end. Look at this comparison. Is the monkey's rear end. And when Ramanuja heard this, he felt so unhappy, such deep grief, that hot tears fell from his eyes on the body of the master. And the master said, Ramanuja, why are you crying? The master, when I hear you explaining this verse, give me pain. The master said, you have a better explanation than this. He said, yes, I do. And his explanation was that Kapi means that which drinks up the water or the sun. The sun sucks the water. And Asan means that which blossoms. The actual meaning is that which blossoms under the sun or the lotus flower. So the Lord has eyes as beautiful as the lotus flower. That was his explanation. So Yadava Prakash wasn't too happy with that. As you can imagine, now the young student is correcting the big master. No, he wasn't too happy. And a few days later, Ramanuja, in public during the class, corrected him again. He was even more unhappy. No, he was becoming envious. And he wanted actually to murder Ramanuja. Then something else happened. That the princess of Kanchipuram was possessed by a ghost. And the king knew that Yadava Prakash was not only a master in the Vedic knowledge, but he also had knowledge of occult sciences. And he knew how to exorcise spirits from people that were possessed by them. So he called Yadava Prakash. Yadava Prakash came. And the spirit inside the body of the princess was a Brahmana Rakshasa. So they're very powerful. Because they're Brahmanas, but somehow they became a ghost. So when Yadava Prakash came and started seeing his mantras to exorcise the spirit, the ghost started laughing. Said, you're not going to get anywhere with this. You don't have the power to exorcise me. So he said all the mantras and more mantras and nothing. And the ghost is laughing at him. And everybody's concerned, so maybe it's not going to happen. The ghost said, if you want to exorcise me from this body, there is a way, and I can tell you how to do it. Okay. You have a disciple, and his name is Ramanuja. If Ramanuja comes here, he will be able to exorcise me. So Yadava Prakash calls for Ramanuja. Ramanuja comes, and the ghost says, if you put your feet on the head of the princess, I will leave her body. And then Yadava Prakash says, but what evidence are you going to have that you are going to leave the body? You see that banyan tree? The top branch of that banyan tree will break down and fall when I look upon it. So then the princess prostrated, and Ramanuja put his feet on her head, and immediately they heard, pow, the branch fell. And now, Ramanuja is really popular, because now he freed the princess from this ghost that the Adhava Prakash was unable to free. Now the students say, well, Ramanuja is more powerful than the Adhava Prakash. Maybe we should follow him. So Yadava Prakash said, we got to do something. He called some of his closest students and said, no, we cannot tolerate this. He is blaspheming our predecessor, Shankara, contradicting his philosophy. He is humiliating me, he's correcting me. What should we do? And finally, they all concluded that we should kill him. We should murder him. And how are we going to do? Let us organize a field trip, a transcendental field trip, pilgrimage for all the students. And we're going north toward the Ganges. And when we get to the Ganges, we kill him, and then we are bathed in the Ganges, we become purified. That's simple as that. And Ramanacharya had a cousin, Govinda. And Govinda was also a student in the same school. So they all went up. All the kids and the master. Until they got to a place, and Yadava Prakash called those closest students and said, this is the place, here is where we're going to kill him, let's discuss how we're going to do it. And when they were discussing this, Govinda overheard the conversation. When he overheard the conversation, he went and told Ramanuja, Ramanuja, they are plotting to kill him. Ramanuja left immediately and went to the forest. In the forest, he found a hunter. Was completely lost, still a young boy, he didn't know where to go. And this hunter and wife, first he was afraid of them, they looked strange. But they guided him, they took him to a well, the wife of the hunter requested water, he gave her water from the well, then he rested. When he woke up the next day, they were gone. And he realized he was back in Panchapuram, which was, many miles away. Then, eventually, Yadava Prakash comes back. And one day he sees Ramanuja walking on the street. He was completely, he thought, no, he had got lost in the forest and had died because Govinda said, he died. He was killed by a tiger. And they were searching for him, they didn't find him. So, maybe he died. And now he's alive. He said, what am I going to do? And one day he is walking with Ramanuja and he has his hand over his shoulder like this. And who is there in town? Jamunacharya. Jamunacharya was over 100 years old at that time. And he is walking with his disciples. And he asked his disciples, who is that? He said, that is Ramanuja. Ramanuja was very famous by now. Especially because he exorcised the ghost. So everybody knew that about Ramanuja. Jamunacharya knew Yadava Prakash, he knew that he was a monist. And he said, oh, I feel sorry for Ramanuja. And he said a prayer to help Ramanuja get out of the clutches of Yadava Prakash. But he didn't talk to Ramanujacharya at that time. Then, eventually, there was another discussion a few weeks later between Ramanuja and Yadava Prakash. There is a mantra that Yadava Prakash was explaining. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman. And Nihana Nasti Kinchana. There is nothing else in the world. So he was explaining the purpose given by Shankaracharya. And Ramanuja said, no, that's not the correct explanation. No. And he gave his explanation. The word Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma do not mean that the Supreme Truth is not nothing but the sum total of the creation. Rather, it is saying that it means that the universe comes from the Supreme as His energy. It is maintained by Him, and in the end it dissolves back into Him. He maintains His own separate identity, although everything is indeed a part of His expanded energy. The words Nihana Nasti Kinchana do not mean that there is no variety at all in this world. Rather, we should understand that all the varieties of creation are held as one. So this was the drop of water. At that moment, Yadavacharya became very angry and said, this school is not for you. No. You are expelled. Out of here. And Ramanujacharya said, yes sir, as you wish. Offered obeisances to him and left the school never to come back again. He went home and he was studying at home and he took shelter of Kanchipurna. So this Kanchipurna, the same one as before, he was asking Kanchipurna, how can I understand what the desire of the Lord is for me? And it was known at that time that this Kanchipurna, he could talk to the deities. The name of the deity was Varadaraja. And when people wanted to know something, they would ask him, can you ask the deities? And he would go and ask the deities. And again, Ramanuja wanted to accept Kanchipurna as his master. But Kanchipurna said, no, I cannot accept you as my disciple. But how do I know what is the desire of the Lord? And Kanchipurna said, what you should do, engage in the service of the Lord by bringing water to the temple for Lord Vada Daraja daily. And the desire of the Lord is going to manifest. So Ramanuja would come daily and bring this water. And during this time, Jamunacharya became very ill. And as he became ill, he was concerned that who is going to be the successor. And he was over 100 years old. But then he got better and became very healthy. And some brahmanas came from Kanchipuram to see him. And they were talking to him. And at that moment he decided to ask about Ramanuja. Oh, how is Ramanuja doing? Oh, he was expelled from the Yadava Prakasha school. Now he's only studying at home. And Jamunacharya said, oh, this is the moment. And he sent one of his disciples, Mahapurna, to go and bring Ramanuja to see him. And Mahapurna went. It was a 5-day trip. And when he got there, he was in a public place near the well where Ramanuja used to get water. And started singing some prayers composed, the Stotra Ratna, composed by Jamunacharya. It's about 64 verses, a beautiful composition, poetry. So he was singing this song, and Ramanuja heard them and said, who composed this song? This is so beautiful, this glorification of the Lord. So that's Jamunacharya. And I'm a disciple of Jamunacharya, and he sent me here just to take you with me to see him. So, wow. So he decided to go immediately. He said, let me just take the water to the temple, and we're going after that. What about your family or wife? No. We need to go right now. I don't want to wait. So they went. But what happened is, during those 5 days, Jamunacharya fell ill again and left his body. And then the procession is going to the river Kaveri for the ceremony. And Mahapurna and Ramanuja are crossing from the other side of the river. They see this procession. They ask, what is this? Oh, Jamunacharya left his body. Ramanujacharya fainted immediately. And Mahapurna started crying. And eventually, Mahapurna sprinkled some water on the face of Ramanujacharya and brought him back to consciousness. And he was so unhappy that he did not have a chance to meet with Jamunacharya, the great saint Jamunacharya. He approached the body. And you notice that the body of Jamunacharya, his hand, had 3 fingers that were clenched like this. And Ramanuja asked, was his hand always like this? And the disciple said, no, his hands were always normal. They were not like this. Yeah. So Ramanuja immediately understood that the reason why his hand was like this, his fingers, 3 fingers were clenched. It was because he had 3 desires that were unfulfilled. And Ramanuja decided that I'm going to fulfill these desires. The desires were that remaining fixed in devotion to Lord Vishnu, I shall feed the people from illusion by spreading the glories of the Lord throughout the land. At that moment, 1 finger became straight. And everybody was astonished. Understand that Jamunacharya was a great saint and preacher, but he was preaching in that area. And our Ramanuja is going to take Krishna consciousness throughout the land of India, which is bigger than it is now. The next desire was to establish that there is no truth beyond Lord Vishnu. I shall write the Sri Bhashya commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Now the second finger became straight. And then he said, and in order to show respect to the sage Parashara, who has so wonderfully described the glories of the Lord in the Vishnu Purana, I shall name one learned Vaishnava after him. And now all the three fingers were straight. And everybody immediately said, no. Ramanujacharya, Ramanujacharya, he is the successor of Jamunacharya. Now, after this, Ramanujacharya was so sad with the departure of Jamunacharya that he went back home to Kanchapurna. He did not want to take the position of the spiritual master of the Sri Sampradaya and went back to Kanchapurna. And he became secluded. He would not talk to anybody. He would just stay home studying. And the only person he would associate with was Kanchapurna, that same person. And he decided to invite her to again approach Kanchapurna for initiation. And Kanchapurna said, no, I cannot initiate you. And Ramanuja thought that Kanchapurna does not want to initiate me because perhaps I may have some contamination. So he devised a plan. I'm going to invite him for lunch at my house. And then I'm going to eat his remnants of prasadam. Then I'm going to become purified. So he told his wife, Kanchapurna is coming here for lunch. So please cook lunch for him and I'm going to take the water to the temple for the deities. Now the problem is that his wife, her name was Ratchakambal, she was stuck in the caste system. She was stuck in it. Even today, this is very strong. I don't know if you heard about the movie Meet the Patels. You heard about this movie? This movie, it basically shows the Patels, they have annual meetings just to meet the Patels, to marry only the Patels. It has to be from this specific area of the Patels, not just any area of the Patels. Very caste oriented. Now, it still goes on. Nothing transcendental about this. So she was stuck in this. So Kanchapurna came and he came a little early. And he told her, I came for lunch. She said, oh, my husband went to the temple. He's coming back soon. He said, unfortunately, I cannot wait because I have to perform some duties for the deities. So whatever you have, offer to me. So she offered, served him well. And then his remnants, she gave to a Shudra lady that passed by. And then she washed the place where he sat with cow dung to purify. And then she took a bath. And then she started cooking for Ramanuja. When Ramanuja came, he said, where is Kanchapurna? Oh, he came. He ate. Where are his remnants? Oh, I gave to a sugar woman. He said, foolish woman! I did all this to get his remnants. And then again, something else happens. Now the time is passing, a year passed, the devotees at Sri Rangam, they are waiting for Ramanuja to come back and take his position. So they sent Mahapurna, that same Mahapurna, to take Ramanuja back and take his position. So, Mahapurna comes, but the problem is he stays at Ramanuja's house with his wife. And one day, and he was very happy instructing Ramanuja, and they actually met along the way, some other place. And during that meeting, immediately Ramanuja said, please accept me as a disciple. He said, no, let's go back to Kanchapurna and then we can do the ceremony. He said, no. I don't want to wait. I was waiting for so long when Jamunacharya left his body. He initiated me right now, right here. So he initiated him right there. So then they went to his house, and his wife and him stayed there. They had their own room. However, one day, when the wife of Mahapurna was getting water from the well with her pitch, the wife of Ramanuja was also there. And some of the water from Mahapurna's wife, somehow some drops fell on the pitch of Ramanuja's wife. Imagine what happened. She was very upset because she said, "Woman, you are from an inferior Brahmin class. Not only she's from a Brahmin class, but it's inferior. And now you contaminated all my water. Wow, this is tough." So Mahapurna was so disappointed, immediately he left with his wife. When Ramanuja comes back, he saw that the room was completely clean, there were nowhere to be found. So what happened to them? "Oh, this is what happened. She contaminated my water with her water. A foolish woman." So he goes out. And when he comes back home, there is a Brahmana coming. And this Brahmana is very poor. And the Brahmana says, "Come on, let's go to my house. I can give you some food." Ramanuja told the Brahmana. And Brahmana said, "Well, I just came from the house. I begged for some food. And your wife rejected. She didn't want to give me food." So, "Okay, so I'm going to write this letter. You take this letter to her." And this letter says, her father, this letter is from her father sending to me. And the letter says, "I need you to come for the wedding of your wife's sister. And if you cannot come immediately, at least she should come." And then the Brahmana delivers the letter, and then Ramanuja comes home. So, "Oh, let me read this letter from your father. Oh, you should go immediately." So she left. "I will go right after." She left and he took sannyas. Don't try this at home. He took sannyas. He gave sannyas to himself. Then he goes to Sri Rangan. Then he becomes the big preacher. And then many pastimes. Then he travels all over India, defeating this, defeating that. One day he had a debate. "I think this is something that our movement needs to revive, the debates. Because when we have class and it's very nice, but first to become sharp, we have to debate, we have to have arguments. There's some people that are becoming expert in debates, the Mormons and others. The kids are having, if you look on the internet, you're going to find many debates, all kinds of debates. People should have more. We need to become sharp. Not just listening and talking to everybody that agrees with everything you say, but with people that disagree, that puts arguments, strong arguments." So he was debating with this pundit for 18 days. 18 days of debate. And on the 17th day, he went to the deities. Ramanuja said, "How can I defeat this pundit? He's practically undefeatable. Please help me, my lord." And when he went back on the 18th day for the debate, the pundit surrendered to him, became his disciple. And then he went to meet Goshtipurna. Goshtipurna was a great sadhu at the time. And he wanted to get a special mantra because Mahapurna said, "You have to go to Goshtipurna and get this special mantra." And he went 18 times to see Goshtipurna. And 18 times Goshtipurna declined. "I'm not going to give you this mantra." And he was crying and insisting. And finally Goshtipurna said, "Okay, I will give you the mantra. With one condition. You can never tell this mantra to anybody. Never." He said, "No problem. We'll never tell to anybody." So the mantra is Om Namo Narayanaya. So the first thing he did, he went to a public place, in a high place, and he started telling everybody that was there. It was a big festival in the area at that time. So when Goshtipurna heard, he said, "I told you not to tell the mantra to anybody, you're going to go to hell." He said, "That's not a problem. It's okay if one person goes to hell and everybody else is liberated. This is no problem." But then, of course, he was preaching everywhere and his final instructions. There's so much more. I could speak about this for hours, but we need to end the class. His final instructions to his followers: worship all Vaishnavas as you worship your Guru. Have faith in the previous acharyas and never be controlled by the senses. Number 3, never be satisfied simply by worldly knowledge. We study the 180 scriptures that describe the glories of the Supreme Lord. Transcendental knowledge can overcome the pushings of the mind and senses. Number 4, be indifferent to the promptings of the mind. Number 5, always relish the chanting of the holy name and qualities of the Lord. Number 6, the best way to serve the Lord is
chanting the holy name.
Is rendering service to his devotees. 7, never follow the ways of a Vaishnava for material gain. 8, always endeavor for purity. 9, every day spend some time in contemplating the greatness of the spiritual master. And every day study the teachings of the Vaishnava Charas. Number 10, always associate with those who are surrendered to the Lord. Avoid those who teach pets other than devotional service and those interested in sensual pleasures. 11, one who sees the deity as a stone, the guru as an ordinary man, the devotees in terms of caste or bodily designation, Charanamrita as ordinary water, the holy name of the Lord as a mundane sound vibration, or the Supreme Lord as one of the demigods is certainly destined to hellish life. 12, one who has surrendered to Lord Narayana should not be concerned about his future, depending always on the Supreme Lord's mercy. 13, our duties should be performed as acts of devotion to the Lord and never for material gain. And 14, study Sri Bhashya and teach it to others. The service is the most pleasing to the Lord. And 15, discriminate carefully between friends, enemies, and those who are indifferent. Those who are Vaishnavas will be your friends. The atheists and blasphemers will despise and hate you. And the worldly man will be indifferent. Then he disappears. And he disappears when the Manuja had finished speaking. Dasharati, Govinda, Andhrapurna, and some of the other leading disciples came forward and made this presentation to him. Your body, which is ever engaged in the service of the Lord, can never be material. So please find a way that we can always have your body present. So he had the sculptor come and sculpt the form, his form, and they worship his form. Taking pity upon them, Ramanuja accepted his disciples' request and ordered that expert sculptors be brought there to carve a stone deity in his likeness. After 3 days, the work was complete. Yatiraja, he was called Yatiraja, the supreme sannyasi, the best of all sannyasis. Then came slowly up to the deity and filled it with his potency by breathing in the crown of the head. Turning to the disciples, he said, "This is my second self." Then he lay down with his head on Govinda's lap and his feet on the lap of Andhrapurna. In this position, with his eyes fixed on the wooden shoes of his own spiritual master, Ramanujacharya gave up his body and returned to the abode of Lord Vishnu. He was 120 years old. Now, a few things we're going to finish in 2 minutes. He was very expert in logic. He said that the impersonalist arguments are ad absurdum, which is a Latin expression. It's something that's completely absurd. He said, it's like saying that your own mother never had a child. He said something absurd to say that. Your mother never had a child. It's something completely absurd. So the arguments of the impersonalists are like this. They say things that make no sense. So during this life, do you know how many sannyasis we have in ISKCON? 104. Okay, we're right. Listen to this. During his life, he had established 74 centers for the Sri Vaishnavas and had many thousands of followers, including several kings and many wealthy landowners. Apart from the householders, which numbered in the thousands, among his followers were 700 sannyasis. At that time, I did research, India had 80 million people living in India. No. Today the world has 7 billion. And we have now 104 sannyasis. So he had 700 sannyasis traveling and preaching. He had 12,000 brahmacharis. And 300 Keti Amas. Keti Amas are ladies who have taken vows of renunciation. They're like, no, renunciants. And 300 of them. So he had accomplished all this during his lifetime. So it's a major, major accomplishment. Hare Krishna. So Jamunacharya ki jai. Any comment, anything? But no, we're late.
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said,
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took two most essential principles from Nish Sampradaya. And from Ramanujacharya, he took two. One is the etiquette amongst the disciple and guru, and amongst the godbrother, amongst the other living entity. And the second one was the importance of serving devotees.
Thank you. Very nice, very nice. It's quite interesting because you see in the Sampradaya, Mahapurna was the spiritual master of Ramanuja, but Ramanuja was the head of the Sampradaya. And actually there is one past time when Ramanuja is sitting on the asana and Mahapurna comes and offers obeisance to him and he is the master. And Ramanuja does not offer obeisance and then some devotees criticize and Ramanuja says, you don't understand that Mahapurna, he wants to teach you something and I was not in a position of interfering with his teaching. I want to teach you how to respect the master of the institution by offering basis. And if I offer the basis, I would interfere with his teaching. That's why I didn't offer basis. There's so many wonderful teachings actually. So many things. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yeah.